she's a doctor. They're both qualified. They put their resumes out to get work in the NHS because they're going to live in Spalding, so they applied for hospitals around the area. Not one reply back to say...
Manjit, I hear your point, and I get what you're saying. There's a lot of frustration in the state of the country right now. Is that leading to anger at the main parties who have been in power? Yes. Is it meaning that people think, well, it couldn't be any worse if we gave someone else a go? Yes, I think it is. Manjit, appreciate the call. Thank you very much indeed. But as with all politicians, you've got to look at actually what they say and what they will do, whether it's funded and whether it's credible. Thank you for wrapping up our conversation on that, Manjit. Ben Kentish here on LBC. Headlines at 5 o'clock.
Route Centre construction, as one example, is a fantastic way we'll make sure that young people can get on into brilliant careers.
Ministers confirmed plans to scrap public funding for the highest level apprenticeships in England.
It was clear that they intended to glue themselves to tarmac.
Four Just Stop Oil protesters are jailed for planning to disrupt Manchester Airport.
This actually makes having children just a little bit easier.
Nigel Farage vows to scrap the two-child benefit cap and reinstate universal winter fuel payments. And
the driver of the Ford Galaxy car was able to follow an ambulance onto Water Street.
A 53-year-old man is questioned on suspicion of attempted murder and drug driving after a car was driven into crowds in Liverpool yesterday. The city's mayor says it was absolutely right for police to release the ethnicity of the suspect. Was it the right decision? Your calls on that next.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 5 o'clock, a 53-year-old man is being questioned on suspicion of attempted murder and drug driving after a car was driven into crowds in Liverpool. Police believe the vehicle followed an ambulance through a roadblock during Liverpool's Premier League title parade. Assistant Chief Constable Jenny Simmons from Merseyside Police has been giving an update.
As with many large events, with event organisers, we plan for all contingencies. And this included the implementation of road closures to protect pedestrians, and an armed policing presence was also in place throughout the day. There was no intelligence to suggest an incident of this nature would take place.
Dozens of people were treated in hospital, with 11 remaining in a stable condition. A van driver has been jailed for 12 years after running down a 3-year-old girl who was visiting Manchester with her parents. A court heard how 36-year-old Roald Remen had taken at least 20 lines of cocaine before it happened in February. The King has warned Canada is facing unprecedented challenges as he opened the country's parliament. Charles told MPs in Ottawa that the world has become more dangerous and unstable. His visit is being widely seen as a show of support in the face of Donald Trump's annexation threats. His Majesty has also spoken of his love for the country.
This is my 20th visit to Canada, spread over the course of more than half a century, and my first as sovereign. Every time I come to Canada, a little more of Canada seeps into my bloodstream, and from there, straight to my heart.
Four Just Stop Oil protesters have been jailed for planning to disrupt Manchester Airport. The group were arrested in August last year while equipped with heavy-duty bolt cutters, angle grinders, glue, sand and high-visibility vests. The three women and one man were jailed for 7.5 years between them for conspiracy to cause public nuisance. And Adidas says customers' personal information has been stolen in a cyber attack. The company says hackers stole mostly contact information to people who have dealt with its customer service desk. It's the latest business to become a target after Marks & Spencer, Co-op and Harrods also faced disruption recently. In the city, the FTSE 100 has closed up 60 points at 87.78. The pound buys $1.35 and €1.19. LBC weather, rain clearing eastwards to leave a mostly dry night. Showers lingering in central areas with the odd shower for northwest Scotland, a low of 2. Patchy cloud tomorrow with sunny spells and the odd light shower for most. Turning cloudy and windy in the far west towards the evening, a high of 23 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Amelia Cox.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Ben Kentish.
5:04 is the time. Ben Kentish in for Tom Swarbrick here on LBC. Very, very good afternoon if you're just joining me here on the programme. Great to have you with us. It was, wasn't it, supposed to be a day of celebration, an afternoon of jubilation yesterday celebrating Liverpool's first Premier League title outside of a pandemic-induced lockdown in 35 years. People had come together from across the country. Some had come from all over the world to line the streets of that city's centre and laud their heroes. But in a matter of seconds yesterday afternoon, joy turned to shock, to horror, to outrage after a car was driven into dozens of people, leaving 27 needing hospital treatment. Now, a lot of what happened in Liverpool yesterday afternoon is still unclear. But what we do know is this. A 53-year-old man from the Liverpool area is in police custody. He was arrested on suspicion of attempted murder and drug driving. And we know, because the police made a conscious decision to tell us, that the man arrested is white and he is British. And the decision to give us that information is unusual. It is, I think, clearly, at least in part, a response to what happened in the aftermath of the Southport stabbings last summer. Because in the hours after that attack, I'm sure you'll remember, police confirmed only that a 17-year-old had been arrested. A man we now know was Axel Rudakabana. But immediately a storm of speculation broke out about the suspect's ethnicity, his religion, about how he arrived in Britain, rumours that he was an asylum seeker. The truth, it later turned out, was that he was born here. But that's only after those rumours, that misinformation, had been spread everywhere. That disinformation, those falsehoods, this tornado of conspiracy theories tearing across social media and into people's minds via our screens, leading some of those people, people I would say who had already certain beliefs and views on these matters, to take to the streets and riot. So this time, the information about the suspect's ethnicity and his nationality were released by police almost immediately. A 53-year-old man, police said, a 53-year-old white British man from the Liverpool area is in custody. That was how the police phrased it. Which, I've got to say, after what happened last summer in Southport, seems completely, eminently sensible to me. But a lot of people today quite unhappy and concerned that the police have made a point of stating, after yesterday's incident, that the suspect is white and he is British. What do you think? Is it a sensible response to last summer's rioting? Or do you have concerns about the decision to immediately disclose the ethnicity of the man in custody? Call me this afternoon, 0345 6060 973. Is it a worrying phenomenon, a worrying example, that police felt the need to make clear that the man in custody was white? Or is it just common sense that they would release and disclose that information? Give me a ring on that number. Text me on 84850 or say, Alexa, send a comment to LBC. We'll talk to a moment to a man who was just retired from the role of Anfield Stadium announcer in Liverpool after more than half a century. First, though, police have been in the last hour or so giving us further details about the suspect, about the incident. Liam Gotting is LBC's reporter in Liverpool with the latest this afternoon. Liam.
Yes, Ben, well, I'm at Merseyside Police Headquarters, where this press conference took place nearly a couple of hours ago now, where we learned that a 53-year-old man is being questioned on suspicion of attempted murder, dangerous driving and driving while unfit through drugs. Now, this press conference was led by Merseyside Police's Assistant Chief Constable Jenny Sims. She described the atmosphere yesterday as electric, but said that sadly the joy of the day dissipated. She sort of took us through a little bit of what led up to the incident. She described a robust traffic management plan that she said Merseyside Police and the event organisers had come up with and had in place, and that currently the working belief of the police is that the driver followed an ambulance onto Water Street where the incident took place after a roadblock was temporarily lifted to allow the ambulance through to deal with an emergency. She added that no intelligence was there to suggest that an incident of this nature would take place at yesterday's event. Here's a little bit of the Assistant Chief Constable Jenny Sims at this afternoon's press conference.
It is believed the driver of the Ford Galaxy car involved was able to follow an ambulance onto Water Street after the roadblock was temporarily lifted so that the ambulance crew could attend to a member of the public who was having a suspected heart attack.
And the Assistant Chief Constable was very quick as well to reiterate that this is not being treated as terrorism and was urging people not to speculate online or to spread information, or misinformation, I should say, on social media. And we've had various people coming and visiting the cordon this afternoon. Yvette Cooper, the Home Secretary, is due at some point this evening to come and visit. But earlier on, we had the Metro Mayor of the Liverpool City Region, Steve Rotherham, who criticised people who have been spreading misinformation on social media.
They were trying to stir up, who might be responsible for it. And that's why I think the police acted not just appropriately, but very, very quickly to dampen that sort of speculation, because it was designed to inflame. It was designed to divide.
And Ben, we also had an update on the amount of people who were hospitalised. Now, yesterday and earlier on today, we were saying 27 people were in hospital. Actually, in this press conference, we learned that 50 people in the end were hospitalised after the incident. 11 people currently remain there in hospital, but the good news is that they are all on the mend and are recovering. The police finished their press conference by saying the exact circumstances of the incident are still being investigated and the man is still being questioned. But just to reiterate, a 53-year-old man arrested on suspicion of attempted murder, dangerous driving, and driving while unfit through drugs.
Liam, thank you very much indeed. Liam Godding, LBC's reporter in Liverpool. Let's talk to George Sefton, who was the stadium announcer at Liverpool's home ground, Anfield, having just retired from the role after 54 years. George, good to have you with us this afternoon. How is the community, the Liverpool FC community, but the wider community in the city as well, how would you sort of describe the feeling there this afternoon? Afternoon to you.
I think... People's, like me, their heads are spinning at what happened. It was such a wonderful day yesterday. Mm. And then in the space of a few seconds, no more, all this happened out of the blue, completely out of the blue. There's no sort of, I heard the press conference with no intelligence. It seems to be a spur of the moment thing that's happened. And watching the videos that were spread around at the time, which we've been asked not to spread around. Mm. But it was quite obvious that this guy was just snapped, from what I can see. And I've got to be very careful what they say, because obviously the guy in custody hasn't been charged with anything.
That's
but
right.
He's on suspicion of attempted murder and drug driving and
dangerous
driving.
That's what he was arrested for, yes.
That's right. So, again, it was quite clear that what was going on. I know I was probably like a lot of people. Personally speaking, a couple of things went through my head. First of all, it's a dreadful incident. It could have been an awful lot worse. Nobody died.
Which is, in a way, miraculous when you hear the details of what happened.
That's right. Absolutely. It was an absolute miracle that nobody died. From a personal point of view, I feel so blessed. I was actually supposed to be down there yesterday, but I got diverted with a family matter. And my daughter was down there, and within 30 seconds of hearing the news flash, what had happened, I rang her and she said, yes, I'm home. She had one of my grandchildren with her. That was fine. Everybody I knew was happy. But then you sit and listen to the stories coming out, and the Liverpool fans... you know how many people are out there, hundreds of thousands out there, and they, all of them in absolute shock and horror at what happened. It just beggars belief. You couldn't make it up. It was such a wonderful day, celebration of what we've just done. I mean, obviously, that because I retired on Sunday, that I had quite a weekend to start with, and now... I'm like nobody else. I'm thinking that forevermore, when people talk about winning the Premier League in 2025, that's all people will remember, the disaster at the end of it, which is very, very sad for the people involved. And one thing nobody said that I've noticed on, again, the videos, the people surrounding the car, they didn't run away, they ran to the car. Mm-hmm. And if I don't know how many people were involved who surrounded the car, they tried to get in and stop this guy, and they succeeded, because if they'd been let go, he could have done an awful lot more damage. But the brave people around it just got in his way. There's so many people got on that car and stopped him in his tracks. And then, the police turned up and got him.
Yes, it's an act of heroism. We don't know who the perpetrator is. Of course, a man is in custody, but as you say, yet to be charged, George. I thought Keir Starmer put it quite well in terms of the words that he put out last night, when he said the city of Liverpool has a long and proud history of coming together through difficult times, which sadly is all too true. And yet, George, I'm sure, knowing Liverpool very well and the people of it, that is exactly what will happen in the days and weeks ahead again.
Yes, we're already doing it. We're gathering round. We're taking a deep breath and getting on with it. As a city, we have this resilience, collective resilience. What was the Lord Mayor said after the Hillsborough inquiries, we're a gritty city, and that's the way we are. We'll defend our own. It's the nature of the city. We're family oriented, and this days like this, we turn into one big family. We've all got each other's backs, and don't get me going on you'll never walk alone and all that sort of thing. But that's the way it is. That's what it means.
But do you feel, it's sad to hear you say, I mean, understandable, but sad to hear you say that the awful events off the pitch have completely overshadowed what was Liverpool's first league title in 35 years, that actually people could come together and celebrate? Because when you won the league 5 years ago, of course, we were in the middle of a lockdown and fans were denied that opportunity.
Absolutely. I've been saying for 5 years, I was so lucky because there was a small number of people inside Anfield when we won it in 2020. And I was fortunate enough to be one of them. But I've been saying over and over again ever since, all I wanted in life before I retired was to the crowd, the Kopites, as I still call everybody in Anfield, to have the chance to be there and watch the team lift the trophy. And we did it. We got away with that. And then, wallop, last night, it all went pear-shaped. I just hope that over a period of time, we get back to realising what we've done and what we've achieved. And whatever happens to the alleged perpetrator, we'll push him into history, and what we've achieved will come to the foreground again. We'll get back to some sort of normality, which is a long way off.
Just on that, George, just before I let you, let me just wish you congratulations, because you say 54 years as the stadium announcer at Anfield is quite an incredible achievement. I'm sure you'll miss the job, but I'm sure Anfield will miss you even more. Thank you very much indeed for coming on talking to us this afternoon. That's George Sefton, stadium announcer at Anfield, just retired from the role after 54 years. Your calls coming in on whether it was right for police to disclose and release the ethnicity of the suspect in that Liverpool incident yesterday afternoon. Come to those in just a moment. Let's get the latest news headlines first with Amelia Cox.
It's believed a car driven into crowds in Liverpool yesterday had followed an ambulance through a roadblock. A man who had taken at least 20 lines of cocaine before running down a three-year-old girl in Manchester has been jailed for 12 years. And the King has been meeting crowds of people in Canada after attending its state opening of Parliament. LBC weather, rain clearing eastwards to leave a mostly dry night. Showers lingering in central areas with the odd shower for northwest Scotland, a low of 2 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Dave Chawner. In Hampshire, two lanes are closed on the M27 heading westbound from junction 9 for Fareham to junction 8 for Hamble. That's all because of an accident. While in Bedfordshire, one lane is blocked on the M1 southbound at junction 13 for Bedford because of an accident, with the exit slip partially blocked by debris. In Cambridgeshire, one lane is closed on the M11 southbound from junction 14 for Girton to junction 13 for Cambridge because of emergency resurfacing work. And in Cheshire, one lane is closed on the M62 eastbound from junction 9 for Winnick to junction 10 for the Croft interchange because of a vehicle fire.
This is LBC. Today's another busy one in the Thing household. Mum's mowing the lawn, Dad's cooking tea, Ash is upstairs spinning tunes, and the twins are on a mission. Luckily, the Things are beating the price cap with a cheaper fixed tariff from British Gas. So, the twins can keep making sure the galaxy stays safe. Search British Gas Tariffs. British Gas. Taking care of things. Eligibility and T's and C's apply. To verify, visit britishgas.co.uk/verify. Call Ben Kentish. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
Daniel liked how easy it was to transfer his old pensions to PensionBee.
I've had quite an eclectic career, and with that, I'd amassed pensions from a couple of different providers. I signed up using the app. It was really straightforward. I was able to give them a couple of key facts about each of my pensions, and then PensionBee did the rest of the work for me.
At PensionBee, we believe that when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. Download the app or go to PensionBee.com. And be pension confident when investing your capital is at risk.
Have you ever wondered what becoming a lotto millionaire sounds like?
You want to sit down? I can confirm that you have won £1 million indeed.
That's Terry finding out he'd won £1 million.
Yes! Oh my God.
Lotto from the National Lottery. Will you be the next millionaire? Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Nothing beats a Jet 2 holiday. And right now, you can save £200 per couple with MyJet 2. So escape to sunny favourites like Gran Canaria, Crete and Costa Blanca. And get 22 kilograms of baggage included. Book now from London Stansted with just a £60 deposit per person. Jet 2 Holidays. Package holidays you can trust. App to National Protected. Subject to availability and conditions.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC with Ben Kentish.
20 the time. Let's talk more about that police decision by Merseyside Police to disclose the ethnicity and the nationality of the suspect in the Liverpool car ramming yesterday. Was that the right move, or do you have a problem with it, as some people seem to? Peter's calling from Lewisham this afternoon. Peter!
Hello.
Welcome. Hi, you're on the radio, sir.
Hi, how are you? How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you, Peter. I hope you are too.
Yeah.
What do you make of that decision by Merseyside Police?
Yeah, so I just have like really quick comments. So if the police decided to reveal the ethnicity and the color of this gentleman, I am expecting that since now on, whatever happens, that this will be the first information released as well. Because as far as I remember, when the last thing happened, people had to dig on other platforms to find out. And yeah, obviously, find out who was that person. But yeah, like that's what I'm saying. This
right.
is just a pure example of two-tier policing, and I don't really think that anyone should be offended by this term two-tier policing, because this is just like the pure example of it.
Because if this had been, let's say, let's pick an example, a non-British-born person of colour who was also Muslim, are you saying the police wouldn't have disclosed that as they did, or as quickly as they did yesterday?
100%, 100%.
And that's a discrepancy that worries you.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, so that's what I'm saying.
Why does it worry? Do you think it's sort of pandering to racism almost?
I mean, it's just unfair towards white people, I guess. It's just really unfair, because if anything happens with non-white, non-British person, then this information is not released that quickly. Whereas in this occasion, this information was released,
I don't think that's unfair on white people, because I think the reason they made that decision is because they know that ultimately people are not going to take to the streets and riot if the suspect is a white Brit. And in that sense, I think it is, in a way, I think it was the right decision. It was common sense. But I can also see why people saying, well, basically by doing that, you are sort of pandering to racism by saying, it's all right, guys, don't panic. The guy we've got in custody is white.
Yes, so I guess the effect will be completely opposite, because now the people will be saying exactly the same as I did. So why this information was released so quickly, whereas in other instances it was not. So I guess whatever police decided and whatever the reason was, I don't think they will gain what they wanted to.
Yes, and you're right, Peter. If this happens, if something similar happens in future, let's hope it doesn't, but if it does, there will be pressure for them to do the same. And if they don't, people will infer certain things from it and so on. I get why they did it. I think it was the right thing. Does it also open a can of worms? I think it probably does, Peter. You're right. Thank you for the call. Really appreciate it. Let's talk to Shireen, new caller in Kensal Green this afternoon. Hi, Shireen. Welcome.
Hi, Ben. I'm a little bit nervous. I haven't spoken to you before.
Oh, it's lovely to have you on, Shireen. Glad you called.
Oh, thank you. Do you know, I was so upset when I heard about the incident yesterday in Liverpool, and my heart goes out to the family.
Absolutely.
And then after my initial thoughts of, my gosh, is everybody okay? Has anybody died? I hope no one's seriously injured. My next thought was, I hope they're not black. I hope they're not brown. Mm. I hope they're not an immigrant. I hope they're not an asylum seeker, because I knew if that was the case, straight away, people would be outside rioting, yep, and none of us would be going outside. I'm a black woman, and I thought, isn't this sad? This is where we've got to in England right now, that straight away we have to be making sure we need to know what ethnicity is the person. Mm. You know, it's a real shame that we've come to this situation.
But only if they're white, Shireen, because as we've been, I don't know if they disclose that information if the person in custody wasn't white, which tells us something, doesn't it, about the country we are at the moment?
Yeah, we're fully racist at the minute. I'm disgusted, and time that there's some form of atrocity, the first thing that the Nigel Farage fans want to be doing is be going after, right, everybody who's black
there's
or brown.
There's a lot of Nigel Farage fans who wouldn't dream of doing that. I don't think we're fully racist, but I think there are enough people who are, that the police feel the need to almost say to those people, don't riot this time because the guy in custody is a white Brit. And I think that's a sad state of affairs because.
And now,
go on.
Sorry to interrupt you.
Not at all. Go
now,
on,
what I know is, I'm going to be having a conversation about white men who seem to be having a lot of drugs in their
system.
Well,
we don't.
That's
allegedly,
was drugged up. But this is a huge issue. And if this was a black or brown person, everybody, yes, would be saying, who radicalised them? Now, I want to know, who made this man go and take drugs?
Well, and there's a wider issue there, isn't there? Because you say, and I think you speak for a lot of people of colour, that you were dreading the news that it might have been a Muslim man or a black man or a person, yeah, of colour. I don't feel that way as a white bloke, and I think most white people would. I don't think, oh my gosh, the man in custody is a white Brit, he's one of us, we're going to get the we're going to get the blame, we're going to have to deal with the fallout from it, because that only happens if you are non-white.
Yeah. Can I ask a question then?
Please.
So, do you now feel as though you have to say to everybody, do you know what, not all white men take drugs?
Absolutely not. Of course I don't.
So do you see the difference now? Because
absolutely,
as a black person, yep, or as somebody who's visibly Muslim,
yep,
you then feel like, God forbid, you then feel like, well, yep, you know, I have to then say, I'm not a terrorist.
Yes.
I'm not horrendous. I've got a good, clean heart. I don't do I'm not a radicalized person. And this is what we've now become.
Shireen, I hear you loud and clear, and you are spot on. When the suspect or the attacker is of a certain skin colour, certain heritage, certain faith, too often that gets turned against all people who have the same skin colour or the same faith when they have absolutely nothing to do with it. And that doesn't happen when the suspect is white. And that's why I think it's a sad state of affairs that police felt the need to disclose that the man in custody is a white Brit. Do I think it was the wrong decision? No. But I do think it's a sign of a country where, when it comes to race, something's gone quite badly wrong. Shireen, what a brilliant first call. No need to be nervous at all. You're great. Thank you so much for picking up the phone this afternoon. More on this to come in just a moment. Your call's flooding in. 0345 606 0973, the number to join our conversation. Let's just pause for a couple of minutes, though, to get an LBC, a business news update with Chris Justin from Seven Investment Management, who joins us. And good afternoon to you, Chris, with news, good news for a change, about the UK economy and growth.
That's right. Hi, Ben. So the IMF, this is the International Monetary Fund, not the Impossible Mission Force, I should clarify, although is there anything that Tom Cruise can't do? It's upgraded its growth forecast for the UK from the 1.1% it estimated in April to 1.2%. So not a huge amount, I have to say, to write home about here. And as we always say, these things are revised every 5 minutes. If you go back to January, it was actually 1.6% that was projected. So it's up and down like a yo-yo. But in defence of the source of forecasts, it's a very tough environment clearly to do it in, because policy on trade has a massive swing factor. So announcements and then pauses, deals thereafter, all of these things have a big impact on how much we may or may not grow. But I think there's some cautious optimism here, because we are the fastest growing economy in the G7, so the seven biggest economies in the world, in the first quarter, albeit with plenty of risks and caveats in the outlook. The only other thing I would add to this is that the IMF has also said that Rachel Reeves and the government should have a look to refine the rules on the current sort of budget constraints that have been put in, self-imposed by a prior government and then clearly being maintained by Labour, to prevent the need for emergency spending cuts. And obviously this is a hot topic at the moment because the government is currently under pressure, certainly ahead of announcements in June and spending reviews, about whether or not it's going to be able to maintain that as the cost of debt continues to increase. And when you've got constraints around your economic growth also hampering your ability to grow at the clip you want in order to get revenues through the door, it possibly could give a license for something to be reviewed here, Ben. So wait and see, I would say.
Wait and see, indeed. Chris, thank you very much indeed. LBC Business Update with Chris Dushton from Seven Investment Management. Ben Kentish in for Tom Swarbrick here on LBC. Still to come.
I'm not happy with what Putin's doing. He's killing a lot of people, and I don't know what the hell happened to Putin. I've known him a long time.
Ukraine's Western allies agree to lift all remaining range restrictions on the use of weapons that have been supplied to that country. That after President Trump issued his strongest criticism yet of President Vladimir Putin of Russia. How significant a moment is this? Details next. It is 5:30. Let's get the news headlines. First, though, Amelia Cox.
11 people are still in hospital after a car was driven into crowds at Liverpool's Premier League title parade yesterday. It's believed the vehicle followed an ambulance through a roadblock to access Water Street, where dozens of people were injured. A van driver has been jailed for at least 12 years after running down a three-year-old girl in Manchester in February. A court heard that Rawal Rehman, who's 36 and from the city, had taken at least 20 lines of cocaine at the time. And the King's warned Canada it's facing a critical moment with the world a more dangerous place. Charles has opened the country's parliament in Ottawa at a time when Donald Trump has threatened to make Canada part of the US. LBC weather, rain clearing eastwards to leave a mostly dry night. Showers lingering in central areas with the odd shower for northwest Scotland, a low of 2 degrees.
LBC, this morning on Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
A confusion, a puzzle, a bewilderment of U-turns, but are there some more? Is there another one on the way?
Education Secretary Bridget Phillipson joining us. It is reported that pressure is mounting on the Prime Minister to scrap the two-child benefit limit.
The commentators who are saying that this is driven by Nigel Farage and some of his policies to try and attract Red Wall or Labour voters, how would you respond?
But Nigel Farage has never been on the side of working people. He opposes the measures that we are introducing that will help working people. For example, our employment rights bill that will give more people rights at work.
He doesn't agree with the two-child benefit cap, Secretary of State.
Well, he flip-flops on all of this. He's backed it in the past. And
doesn't your government flip-flop a bit?
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Back tomorrow morning from 7. Listen on your radio, on Global Player, and the new LBC app.
It's your home, darling. Let's make it fabulous. High scoring isn't my forte, but there's no arguing with Trustpilot ratings. Shutterly Fabulous have an expert team of fitters who specialise in one thing, simply gorgeous window shutters. Made to measure, hand-finished and expertly installed. Make your home Shutterly Fabulous. So don't dither, darling. Book a free consultation with our expert shutter fitters today.
Hey, it's Roman here. Now at Vodafone, you can get the epic Samsung Galaxy S25 Ultra and save up to £1,008 when you trade in an eligible phone. Plus, you can experience the exclusive Circle to Search feature, available only on Android, helping you to search fast and find what you need without switching apps. Go online or in-store today. Ends 12th of June. Vodafone.
Save £576 on 5GB airtime over 36 months and £72 on the phone. 100MB max speed, eligibility, credit and trade-in checks and terms apply. Finance Vodafone.
When you're sure you know the answer. When it's on the tip of your tongue. When you beat the buzzer and the contestant.
Get in the bag.
How did you know that?
Naturally brilliant, I guess.
Yeah, modest too.
Nothing brings us together like great TV. And a TV licence covers you to watch all TV channels so you can play along with all your favourite quiz shows. Search TV licence together.
Where would we be without the curiosity to explore?
It takes us to new places.
It even got us to the moon.
And now there's never been a better time to satisfy your curiosity about electric cars. With great offers on our award-winning range, including the Ioniq 5 and Ioniq 6, available with £2,000 deposit contribution and 0% APR. Discover more at Hyundai.co.uk. Ends 30th of June 25. Finance subject to status. Hyundai Motor UK Limited is a credit broker, not a lender. Terms apply.
Ben Kentish on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
5:34 the time. Donald Trump issuing a pretty eye-opening new warning to Vladimir Putin of Russia in the last half hour or so. Details to come on that and what it means in just a moment. First, this comes in from Philip on WhatsApp. Ben, the authorities should not have released the ethnicity of the person involved in the incident in Liverpool, or allegedly involved at least. His or her ethnicity is irrelevant. To do so is a knee-jerk reaction to the rioting last summer and panders to racists who are chomping at the bit for any reason to divide our country. Philip thinks it was the wrong decision. Peter's in Stirling this afternoon. Peter, was it? Afternoon.
Thank you. Well, firstly, before I answer that, I'd just like to wish everyone who was caught up in yesterday a speedy recovery and praise the people of Liverpool for their reaction. You'd rather be having a call in on that. But to answer your question, I think the reason that so many people are outraged at this police decision is because it's holding a mirror up to this country and people don't like what they see. I think that if you want to blame anyone, it is blame the rioters from last summer. Blame these reactionaries we see online. I've seen people still posting videos, posting pictures, arguing now about if the guy was really 53. I'm not sure what that's going to achieve. We can't be trusted anymore as a country to react in a sane and reasonable way. And so, of course, the police have to make this decision. And so if you want to blame anyone, I think people should show a bit of introspection and start to look at how they are themselves conducting themselves and reacting themselves to these sorts of admittedly tragic and horrific incidents.
But you don't worry, Peter, that it almost fuels that racism, it panders to it by the way that the police responded yesterday?
Well, unfortunately, you're kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Yeah.
If they don't release the race of the person, then the racists will jump all over that.
Yep.
And we'll see more rioting.
Yep.
If you release the race, at the end of the day, I think this is probably the best of the two bad outcomes. We just get a few, you know, middling Tommy Robinson fans and so on and so forth who get a bit offended and go, oh, it's a two-tier system. It's not.
Mm.
Rather than we see people attacking mosques and asylum hotels.
Peter, I mean, I think you put that brilliantly, to be quite honest with you. It's a sad state of affairs that it had to happen, but it did have to happen. And you only look at what happened last July and August to see why the police felt they had no choice. Thank you, Peter. Talk to Gary and Gloss a bit in a couple of minutes' time. First, though, fresh criticism in the last half an hour of Vladimir Putin. Not particularly new news, that, but it is new and it's significant because it comes once again from Donald Trump, who has taken to social media in the last half an hour or so to write this. What Vladimir Putin doesn't realise is that if it weren't for me, lots of really bad things would have already happened to Russia. And I mean, capital letters, really bad. He's playing with fire. This a day or so after Donald Trump called Vladimir Putin crazy after the renewed bombardment of Kyiv in Ukraine by Russian missiles. Air Vice Marshal Sean Bell joins us. Sean, lots of Ukraine-related developments today. Let's just start with that latest post from Donald Trump. He really is ramping up the criticism of Vladimir Putin in a way that he refused to do for months, in fact, years previously. What's changed, you think?
Yeah, good afternoon, Ben. I think what's changed is that Trump had originally, before he came into office, had said he was going to solve this war before he even got inaugurated. Then he said he was going to do it in 24 hours. Then it was going to be 100 days. We're well over 100 days now. We're no closer to the war ending. Trump has strong-armed President Zelensky to be at the negotiating table, but has tried every trick in his book to try to get President Putin at the table, and frankly, he's gone nowhere near it. What really is strange, though, is that everything else Trump does, he goes hard and heavy early. For example, things like the tariffs, he imposes loads of tariffs, gets people to the negotiating table, then backs off a bit. He could stop the war very quickly with Russia if he was to impose some key measures. He's chosen not to, and I'm not quite sure why.
Well, he's alluded to this weekend, hasn't he, to the fact that he is now considering some sanctions on Russia. We don't know what those look like yet or whether they will be announced. What sort of difference might that make if those sanctions are forthcoming from Washington?
As a former military guy, I'm sort of somewhat sceptical and naturally about sanctions. But the one thing that would hurt President Putin is it's all being funded by oil revenues. If President Trump was to put a 50% tariff, for example, on all nations that were buying Russian oil, almost certainly overnight, that would massively reduce the demand for Russian oil. Mm. And that would have a really significant effect on Russia's ability to prolong the war. And that's one of the things that would be relatively easy for Donald Trump to do. He's been used to applying these tariffs around the world pretty quickly without even actually offering military aid to get more involved. So those are the sort of things. But to date, President Trump hasn't even really alluded to those. It's almost like he wants to be a Mr. Nice Guy. But that's clearly not working. President Putin is in the ascendancy. He's winning the war in Ukraine. And that is worrying a lot of Europeans, which is why we're seeing this shift around some of the restrictions around the weapons being available.
Let me ask you about that, because as you say, the Western allies of Ukraine have lifted, reportedly, the range limits that they imposed previously on the missiles and other arms that we gave to Ukraine in order to allow Ukrainian forces to hit targets further away, including more inside Russia. How much of a game changer could that prove to be, Sean?
Well, again, I mean, it's a significant step. It's not just about the range, because, frankly, it's about what targets they were allowed to be used against. You'll recall over time that there has been some nervousness about from the West about using Western weapons into Russia itself. And therefore, the restrictions were largely around when the first salient, when the Ukrainians had invaded a bit of Russia, they were allowed to be used there. What they're actually saying now is that we've put no restrictions. These weapons like Taurus, like Storm Shadow, hundreds of miles of range, they can now be used however that Ukraine sees fit to use them. Now, it's a positive move, but I have to say, we're not going to see a shift in the way that the war is going as a result of this. Ukraine has had a lot of long-range drones that it's been developing over the last few months, been very effective at targeting Russia behind its lines, but it is symbolic, and it demonstrates clearly how Europe is getting rattled, because a vulnerable Ukraine is a vulnerable Europe. And if President Trump walks away from all of this, there's some pretty significant challenges facing Europe if they're going to bolster Ukraine's defences.
Sean, really appreciate your insight. Really interesting. Thank you very much indeed. Air Vice Marshal Sean Bell is a former fighter pilot, now military analyst and also co-host of the Red Matrix podcast. 5:41 is the time. Ben Kentish here on LBC this afternoon. We're talking about whether Merseyside police were right or wrong, in your opinion, to disclose the ethnicity and the nationality, he's a white Brit, of the man in custody on suspicion of drunk driving and attempted murder after that car ramming in Liverpool yesterday afternoon. Let's talk to Gary in Glossop about that. I mean, Gary, our previous caller, Peter, was saying they're damned if they do, damned if they don't. Have they got this one right? Afternoon.
Afternoon, Ben. Listen, before I go on to this, what I'd like to say is, on large gatherings in future, there is always going to be a threat. Copycat things of Europe running into markets. Where were the police marksmen? Where were the armed police? Where were the spotters? They could have shot him as he set off.
Oh, Gary, obviously they take precautions. I don't know if you can ever completely avoid these sorts of things happening. I wish we could. But I think we've seen enough to know that the people, we don't know the motive, we don't even know who actually the suspect is. No one's been charged, but it's impossible to stop people doing things like this they want to do. We've seen that across Europe.
As soon as he came down through that barrier, then he should have been stopped.
All right, but I think it's too early for us. There will be an inquiry, I'm sure they will look into this. It's a bit early, less than 24 hours on, I would say, to start criticising the police on that. What about the decision
going
to...
Going back to the question.
The ethnicity.
Going back to your question. If it had been an Iraqi asylum seeker, then they would not have disclosed it. 100%. The only knee-jerk reaction of what happened in Southport, and everybody's thinking, it's actually changed. This is going to be the change. It'll never change. They'll cover it up. Look how long we've been with what they call it, trying to find out these girls who were raped and molested, and they've kept saying all they were white and Asian and whatever, it'll never happen.
What would never happen?
it would never, that, well, if you think this is the new trend, that they're going to turn around and tell you every time what ethnicity people are.
I agree with you that if it had been a person of colour, particularly if it was an immigrant, they probably wouldn't have taken the same decision. But that's because what we saw last summer were basically racist people targeting other migrants on the basis of what proved to be disinformation, that the perpetrator of the Southport stabbings was an asylum seeker. He wasn't.
And as far as solving the Russian problem, there's an easy way to do it. Ukraine must lease the country they're living in from Russia and pay them
for their own territory. They should pay Russia to keep their own territory that was seized by force from Vladimir Putin.
Russia will never accept that. So this war
they might have
never
to be, Gary. And if Donald Trump issues those sanctions and Western countries step up their military support, then Vladimir Putin might have less of a choice over that than he does now. Good thing too, I say. Thank you for the call this afternoon, Gary. Interesting perspective. More of your calls to come on Liverpool police decision to disclose the ethnicity of the suspect in a couple of minutes' time. Ben Kentish in for Tom Swarbrick here this afternoon on LBC. Still to come.
It is done. And frankly, after the level of betrayal that we saw, especially since the 2019 victory, they fully deserve everything that is happening.
In a major play for Labour voters, Nigel Farage also calls the Tories says the Tories are dying as a political party. Are they? We'll ask the Shadow Home Secretary next. 5:45, news headlines first, Amelia Cox.
A man in his 50s is being questioned on suspicion of attempted murder and drug driving after a car was driven into crowds in Liverpool. The King says Canada is facing a critical moment while opening the country's parliament in Ottawa. And Adidas has revealed it has become the latest company to face a cyber attack after Marks & Spencer, Co-op and Harrods were also targeted. LBC weather, rain clearing eastwards to leave a mostly dry night. Showers lingering in central areas with the odd shower for northwest Scotland, a low of 2 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Dave Chawner. One lane is closed on the M25 going clockwise from junction 27 for the M11 interchange to junction 28 for the Brook Street roundabout. That's because of an accident. And on the anti-clockwise stretch of the M25, one lane is closed at junction 24 for Potter's Bar because of a broken down car. Looking elsewhere in Thornton Heath, queues on the London Road are stretching in both directions between Mayday Road and Campbell Road. That's due to recovery work on an earlier accident. And in Upper Edmonton, there are long delays on the North Circular heading eastbound, with one lane closed at the Cooks Ferry interchange because of an accident. Finally, severe delays on the Elizabeth line between Paddington and Reading because of signalling problems.
This is LBC.
Hillary's mid-season sale just got even better. Get up to 40% off hundreds of made-to-measure styles. Plus, get an extra 10% off absolutely everything. That's 10% off all blinds, curtains and shutters. And an extra 10% off our new range of awnings and pergolas, with measuring and fitting always included. Book your free in-home appointment today. Visit hillarys.co.uk. Hurry, Hillary's extra 10% off everything must end 2nd of June. Conditions apply.
Call Ben Kentish, 0345 6060973. This is LBC.
Hey, it's Roman here. Now at Vodafone, you can get the epic Samsung Galaxy S25 Ultra and save up to £1,008 when you trade in an eligible phone. Plus, you can experience the exclusive Circle to Search feature, available only on Android, helping you to search fast and find what you need without switching apps. Go online or in-store today. Ends 12th of June. Vodafone.
Save £576 on 5GB airtime over 36 months and £72 on the phone. 100MB max speed, eligibility, credit and trading checks and terms apply. Finance Vodafone.
Tired of watching your uninvested cash do nothing? With the Bank of England base rate reducing, investment platform IG is doing something extraordinary. IG is offering a whopping 8.5% AER variable on all uninvested cash. Yes, 8.5%. Just open an account, transfer money in and make one investment before May 31st to unlock this incredible rate. Visit IG.com. Call now to open an investment account today. Your capital is at risk. GIA, ISA and SIP accounts only. Boosted rate applies until 31st August 2025. Terms and conditions apply.
Have you ever wondered what becoming a lotto millionaire sounds like?
You want to sit down? I can confirm that you have won £1 million indeed.
That's Terry finding out he'd won £1 million.
Yes! Oh, my God.
Lotto from the National Lottery. Will you be the next millionaire? Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Big, big, big motoring world. Wow, wow, wow motoring world.
Yes, that's right. Big Motoring World is also Wow Motoring World because we price check our cars every day to guarantee you our best price with up to 95% of them below market value. Big Motoring World. We're big on what matters to you. See website for nearest store. Visit bigmotoringworld.co.uk or one of our stores for our price promise and terms and conditions.
Thanks to their unique boutique spirit, there really is nothing quite like a Saga River Cruise. There are the elegantly designed Spirit ships, the all-inclusive dining, and of course, Saga's carefully selected excursions. You know, they'll even drive you to and from the airport with their nationwide chauffeur service.
How long now, Charles?
Oh, half an hour.
Marvellous. Search Saga River Cruises. Experience is everything. 2026 season on sale now. Chauffeur service available on UK mainland. Full terms apply. Over 50s only.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC with Ben Kentish.
5:49, Dean's calling from Sheringham in Norfolk to carry on our conversation about whether Merseyside police should or shouldn't have disclosed, as they did, the fact that the man in custody on suspicion of that car ramming yesterday in Liverpool is a white British man. Dean, your thoughts this afternoon. Hello.
Hello there, hope you're well.
I'm very well, sir. And you?
Well, yeah, I'm all right, thank you very much. The thoughts being that it was obviously damage control to release the ethnicity and gender of this person involved, which I think, not to sound callous, but probably they breathed a bit of a sigh of relief when it was a white British male, in respect of not having the kind of rioting that we had last year. The only thing is that now they've said the presidents are releasing that. Mm. Now, next time, if they don't release that, do we assume that it's somebody of colour,
exactly,
of a different ethnicity?
Does it open a can of worms that actually would have been better kept firmly closed?
Well, that's it. Because now, like I say, no news surely just means it's somebody. Or that will be the assumption, potentially. And then that means if we don't release who it is, or don't maybe just say it's maybe a white British person, then the potential is for rioting every time, isn't it now?
But I guess the fact that they did doesn't stop the speculation anyway, Dean, does it? Because you look what happened in Southport, where all sorts of rumours were flying around. There was this storm of conspiracy theories. And it was false. So you can see why the police would have said, well, actually, let's just get this out there and put a stop to that nice and early. Because if they hadn't, you imagine if that had happened again and we had seen the same level of rumours and falsehoods swirling around social media and there had been more violence and there had been riots, only for it then to emerge that actually the man arrested was a white Brit, everybody would have said, well, why didn't you just say so earlier?
Absolutely. I suppose the thing is that, like I say, now it's coming from the horse's mouth as such next time, unless it is a white British male, you don't have to think of, go through the, sorry, my two-year-old's with me. You don't have to go through the rumour mill. You literally will get fed the information that, that's how it's going to have to be now, isn't it?
But you're right. Next time, if they don't release it, that disinformation will be doubled because people say, oh, well, last time when it was a white guy, they said so. Must mean it isn't this time. Dean, I'll leave you to get back to the dad duties, but thank you for the call. Sean's a new caller in Birmingham. Sean, welcome.
Hello, Ben. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. Are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. Good. Just a really quick point, just to echo a lot of what's been said, but I really think the police had no choice but to release it, because last time, as we saw in Stockport, it was weaponised so quickly by the right
Southport,
wing.
Southport.
It was weaponised so quickly by the right wing factions who want to
But are we pandering to that if we sort of put it out there? Don't riot this time, guys. It wasn't a person of colour. It's a white Brit in custody. Do we sort of pander to that racism?
No, well, I think, Ben, it's really, I suppose my point really is the political side of it. When you've got leaders of, like Nigel Farage or others who may use it as a political statement to them, then they use it to weaponise and cause distrust. And they're feeding into that right-wing thing of let's hate anybody who's not white. I guess the police maybe have learnt from that and thought, right, we need to release this quickly. I happened to be on social media yesterday when that broke. Yeah. And one of the first comments I read was somebody put, I can already guess the colour of this person.
Yep. And that's before
the police probably had to do anything. That it's already been weaponized. It's already happening, unfortunately. And as one of your previous callers said, we're just holding a mirror up to ourselves. Absolutely. It's a really sad, it's such a tragic event.
And that is the context, Sean, isn't it? That the police have to make those decisions in. I wish it wasn't, but that is the reality, that there are people who will immediately seize on these sorts of events and others like them in order to stir up hatred, racial tensions, and fuel what is ultimately a racist bandwagon. We saw it already yesterday. That's why the police did the right thing, I think. Sean, great first call. Thank you very much indeed. Let's talk to the Shadow Home Secretary about this and more, shall we? Chris Philp joins us, also Conservative MP for Croydon South. Good to have you with us on LBC this afternoon, Mr. Philp. We'll start with the issue we're talking about this hour, if we could. The Merseyside police decision to consciously and deliberately make clear that the man in custody was white and was British. Was that the right move in your view? Afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yes, I think it was. We saw last year where the police and indeed the Prime Minister didn't disclose information quickly, and misinformation filled the void, including misinformation spread by potentially hostile foreign states. And that, I think, was a terrible, terrible mistake. What Merseyside Police did yesterday by quickly getting onto the front foot and making a disclosure of some facts early on, I think was the right thing to do. And I think that should be adopted as a matter of general approach.
Regardless of the nationality and the ethnicity. So if this hadn't been a Brit and hadn't been a white person, should they have done the same thing?
Well, I think, to be honest, you've got to be consistent. Yeah. You can't do it selectively. And I think, you know, we saw last summer what happens where disclosures not made, all kinds of conspiracy theories filled the vacuum, some of which, as I said, were fueled by hostile foreign states intervening in the social media space. So I think if you're going to make early disclosures, and I think the police and the government should make early disclosures to avoid that misinformation, you've got to do that essentially on a consistent basis. I mean, unless there are some really exceptional circumstances, I think they do have to be consistent.
The problem is, because of what we saw last summer, and because of this sort of culture, the climate we're operating in, had they disclosed that it was a non-British, non-white person, the fear would be that that would actually have fueled tensions rather than diminished them.
Well, I think the problem, had that been the case, if they'd then decided to therefore not make a disclosure, conspiracy theories would have filled the vacuum in any event. So I think the what's changed in recent years compared to the past is that with social media being what it is, conspiracy theories, which are often untrue, can rapidly take hold. We know that hostile foreign states, I'm talking about countries like Russia, deliberately fuel misinformation on social media platforms to try and create divisions in our society. So, you know, I think trying to keep things quiet, I think besides being sort of morally wrong, I don't think would work anyway, because misinformation, probably misinformation that's even more inflammatory, would end up filling the void, as happened last, we saw what happened last summer. And I think Keir Starmer, he'd only been Prime Minister for a few weeks, but I think he made a mistake. Perhaps it was a symptom of inexperience by trying to suppress information last summer.
Well, he doesn't necessarily decide himself what details police do and do disclose. Let's talk about Nigel Farage, Mr. Philp, if we could. He said this morning that your party, the Conservatives, are dying. You're in fourth place, according to some opinion polls. You're down to 16% of the vote. Has he got a point?
Well, you're quoting a single opinion poll, and no, he hasn't got a point. You know, we've got 25 times more MPs in Parliament than he does.
For now.
Look, Nigel Farage is coming up with, you know, all kinds of slogans and making all kinds of promises, but they are essentially empty promises and empty slogans because there's no substance behind them. He's promising tax cuts and spending increases that add up to well over £100 billion with not the first idea how he's going to pay for those. It's completely lacks credibility of any kind, and it would be actually catastrophic for public finances and for mortgage rates and the value of the pound and all of that if he ever actually tried to do that. So his plans are
pretty
crazy.
Why is he so much popular right now than your party or even Labour, if the polls are correct?
Well, I think in part because the kind of slogans he has and the empty promises he makes haven't been properly scrutinised, because he's never been considered a serious party before. But now I think clearly the media and also the public will scrutinise those plans more and will see that these promises are completely fantastical and totally
unrealistic. But aren't you then suggesting that voters are somewhat gullible if you're saying, well, actually, he's making false promises, people are buying them? You're basically saying that people are believing lies.
Well, I'm afraid what he is saying, what Nigel Farage is saying, you know, does not add up or stack up in any way. Just like Labour before the last election, about a year ago, were saying, oh, no tax rises, when, of course, they were planning massive tax rises all along. There are also, I think, some specific policies that Nigel Farage has got wrong. So one of the things he announced today was an end to the cap on...
I wanted to ask you about that, the two-child benefit cap.
He's saying that the cap on child benefits for two children should go.
Why is it wrong, Mr. Philp, to lift a quarter of a million children out of poverty overnight? Why is that wrong?
Well, because the reason the measure was introduced to start with was that it's fundamentally unfair that people who work really hard, pay their taxes, perhaps only have two children themselves because they can't afford to have any more, that their taxes then get used to pay for people who choose to have three, four, five, six children.
Or people who have lost their jobs.
Can't afford to.
Or people who have lost their jobs and happen to have three or four children.
So obviously, there are social security provisions in place for people that lose their jobs. But child-specific benefit, I think, should only be capped at two children, because it's just unfair to ask people who work really hard, pay their taxes, to subsidise other people who perhaps, you know, can't afford to have extra children, maybe don't even work at all.
But it's not the children's fault, is it? You don't keep children living in poverty because you don't like the decisions their parents have made.
It's a question of fairness, and you know, I don't think it's reasonable to ask taxpayers who work really hard, probably themselves, most people are struggling to make ends meet themselves. It's not fair to ask those people who are working hard, paying taxes, to subsidise other people who've chosen to have more children than they can afford to. That's just fundamentally unfair. And by the way, the majority of the British public, by a margin of 2-1, agree with that. For reasons of fairness, then get on to reasons of a full question.
We can't get on to that, I'm afraid, because